Good day, I'm Jackie Judd with Health on the Hill, a conversation about efforts to overhaul the healthcare system. Here to discuss what's ahead this week as the Senate continues its deliberations are Mary Agnes Carey of Kaiser Health News and Eric Pianet, a longtime Washington journalist. Welcome to you both.
Good morning.
Mary Agnes, start with you. Since we spoke last week, Senate Democratic leaders have sent certain new ideas to the Congressional Budget Office for analysis. What was sent? And when is the CBO scoring, as it's called, expected to be back?
The scoring is expected to be back early this week. That's what they're certainly hoping for. Provisions in there include a Medicare buy-in for those as young as 55 to age 64, a greater role for the Office of Personnel Management, OPM, to help negotiate health care plans that would be offered all over the country to people.
And this is in lieu of the earlier public option.
Right, in lieu of the public option. There's been a lot of concern on Capitol Hill, particularly in the Senate, from Senate moderate Democrats, that it's too big of an expansion for government. And the thought had been that maybe for the pure public option as we have in the House or a pure public option, you might not get 60 votes in the Senate. So this OPM provision is very important there. And also it's thought that they would have trigger language that would basically say that if private plans didn't step forward to offer these health insurance plans that OPM would administer, you'd have a trigger mechanism to make sure that people have choice of health plans all over the country.
With these current ideas out there, Eric, what does the headcount look like at this moment?
Right now, it's touch and go for the Senate leadership because every time they add a new provision, a new wrinkle to the bill, they may pick up some support here, but they lose support there. So actually, these latest proposals that Mary Agnes was outlining, they're very controversial. And several of the moderate Democrats, Ben Nelson in particular, along with Joe Lieberman, an independent, are very unhappy about these. And Nelson in particular thinks that this is perhaps a major step toward a single-payer insurance plan down the road. So he's even more uncomfortable with this than the earlier provisions.
And Politico has an article that also identifies another Democrat who we really haven't spent much time at all talking about over the past few months. That's Jim Webb, a Democrat from Virginia. What are the issues he has?
That's right. He's a freshman Democrat from Virginia. And I think that his biggest concern is proposed cuts in Medicare. In a sense, he's throwing his lot with the Republicans, who've made a huge issue out of how the Democrats plan to pay for this whole insurance plan. And a big part of it is, you know, is as much as $500 billion in reductions in Medicare and Medicaid costs over the next 10 years. And Republicans are holding themselves out as the champions of the elderly and the seniors. And they're saying, no, this would undermine the Medicare program. And Webb has a lot of concern about this. So he's been voting with the Republicans on some of these procedural votes in the run-up to the big showdown.
You know, we've spent so many times over the past few months talking about how Democrats are trying to pick up support of certain Republicans like Olympia Snowe, but we haven't spent that much time, exactly the point you were making, Eric, the efforts Republicans are making to peel off Democrats. Are there others who they're working on?
Well, Eric just mentioned Ben Nelson. He's very concerned about the abortion funding language in the bill. He's concerned about the Medicare buy-in. And the longer this goes and the closer you get to final passage, as people express their concerns, as Senator Reid tries to work to resolve them, I think that Mitch McConnell, the minority leader, the Republican leader in the Senate, would be more than happy to welcome any Democrat who wanted to into the fold because their plan is to stop this legislation at every point and every turn that they can.
You mentioned Ben Nelson, of course, and the issue over abortion. Give us a status report on that.
Well, there was a vote last week that would have put more restrictive abortion funding language in the Senate bill, and that was defeated. What Ben Nelson had wanted to do, along with Orrin Hatch, as a Republican from Utah, is to have much, much tighter funding restrictions placed in the bill, and that was defeated. So now Harry Reid is trying to resolve that issue. There are other Democrats as well. Bob Casey of Pennsylvania, for example, has issues around the abortion funding. So I don't quite know what that middle ground is going to be, but I know it's something that they're working on to try to resolve because it's a key issue.
Eric?
I think that the the challenges for Harry Reid are great, and the clock is ticking, and there's real concern now among the Democrats that they may not be able to make their deadline of getting a vote in the Senate by Christmas. And the larger concern is the longer this thing drags on, the more opportunity the Republicans have to try to undercut it. Republicans have a lot going for them. The polls are turning against the Democrats. More and more Americans are having reservations about the entire approach. The more the Democrats struggle to put together a winning formula, the more unwieldy the package becomes, and the more vulnerable it becomes to critics like Mitch McConnell, who goes on television and says the American people don't want this plan. We ought to cut it back. We ought to go back to the drawing boards. And this is what Joe Lieberman was saying on television over the weekend as well. You know, the initial plan wasn't too bad, except for the public option, which he is adamantly opposed to, in part because his state has a big concentration of insurance companies. But also, he raises a legitimate point. The more you pile onto this thing, the more unwieldy it becomes, the more expensive potentially it could become. More questions that are raised about the wisdom of moving ahead.
Well, Mary Agnes, what is your prediction, if I may ask, that there will be a vote by the 23rd?
That is such a great question. And I want to stop predicting, but I can't help myself. I think that they will get a vote by the 23rd. You've just got to think this through. If you don't have a vote, if you don't have passage or a vote either way, before they go home for Christmas, it just makes it phenomenally difficult to start it again when they get back. They certainly could. There's been talk, if there's not a vote for Christmas, maybe they'd be there between Christmas and New Year's. There's nothing, of course, finalized. The schedule is extremely fluid. But I think there is a very strong chance that we will see a vote in the Senate before they go home. But I could be wrong. Before they go home for Christmas, rather.
You've covered all bases.
Thank you very much.
Thank you both. We'll see what happens next week.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us. I'm Jackie Judd.